Morning. Oh, that's more enthusiastic than Trev got. You must have warmed up. That's great. It's great to be here this morning, and thanks to Nat and to the whole team for that time of worship and for leading us in that time of worship. And anyway, let's as we get into the Word, let's just commit that to the Lord as well. So Lord, we just thank you for the chance to be here. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us. Lord, not just when we're together in church, but always. But Lord, we thank you especially for the way that you're with us when we come together, and for stirring our hearts to worship and praise you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that wonderful opportunity. And Lord, I just thank you that for what you have done for us, Lord, as we're reminded this morning, Lord, without you, we're spiritually insufficient. We're hungry, we're thirsty. We cannot reach you. We cannot achieve the things. We cannot be the people you called us to be. But Lord, with you, we are filled, and I thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray this morning as we look at your word, Lord, that you will continue to speak to us, continue to minister to us, continue to fill us up. Lord, speak through me, Lord, as I bring your word. Lord, pray that you would speak to each one of us in a way that would uplift us, that would encourage us, that would challenge us. Lord, that you would say to us what you would want us to hear this morning. And Lord, that it would not just be words, but Lord, it would be something which carries us forth, which impacts us. Lord, we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So last time I had the chance to share, I began to share on some things which I see as really our essentials to living an abundant life. And of course, we only got through one, and only one at a time. Last time we looked at the first essential really to living the abundant life that God has for us is to embrace the cross. And really it was expanding on the salvation message. And it's really the first thing. If we want to live abundant life, we must be saved. But, it's more than just about praying a prayer. It's more than about just an acknowledgement or a belief system. But it's something that drives us, something that becomes part of our life. And so embrace the cross. And so this morning then I want to look at just the second thing, and these are not exhaustive. There's a lot of things perhaps that we really need to do to fully live an abundant life. But these are just some things that are really on my heart, and actually they really all occur in the book of Acts, and especially in those first couple of chapters of Acts I really see them. So perhaps that's why they were speaking so much to me, why I get so excited about them. But the second thing really we need to do, and we need to have in our life if we want to live the abundant life that God has for us, if we want to experience that, is we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When I first started going to the CRC, and I was still going to another church and going to another youth group, and then I started going to the CRC youth group and occasionally the CRC church as well. And one thing that people would ask me, they always say, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And it was one thing you were guaranteed, not just one person, but several people would ask you. And I thought, well, I don't know what they're talking about, so I guess the answer is no. But it wasn't just that. If you said no, and then they would be, well, next week, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit yet? And so it was a very important thing. It was a big thing. And it still is important. Maybe we don't, harass people or challenge people quite as often as was my experience in those days. But it is still so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we might then be asking, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And there's two things that it means. There's an initial infilling with the Holy Spirit, and there's a continual filling, so that we remain full of the Holy Spirit. And both of them are important. Both are essential if we want to live the abundant life that God has for us, that Jesus won for us. And the first part of this being filled with the Holy Spirit, that initial infilling, which we can also call being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I actually like to use the term baptism with the Holy Spirit, because sometimes when we can say being filled with the Spirit, have you been filled with the Spirit? And we can just think about it, well, it's just one thing that happened once. Whereas actually the Bible, and if we get this far this morning, the Bible tells us that, you know, God wants us to be constantly filled with the Spirit. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit the whole time. And so it's one reason why I like to use the term baptism with the Holy Spirit. But what we see in Matthew, Mark and Luke, when John the Baptist comes and he's baptizing and people are asking them who he is, and he talks about Jesus and he's referring to him and he says, I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus himself used these words in Acts chapter 1 verse 5. He says, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And only last week, you know, we get to see baptism in action, didn't we? Three times, not just once, three times for the price of one. And if I remember rightly, there were people went into the water and they were completely covered over by the water. You know, they were engulfed in the water. And John prophesies about this, and then Jesus promises this experience where something will happen where we are completely covered with the Holy Spirit. And then we turn to Acts chapter 2, and if we just read those first four verses, we see the fulfillment of that promise. What was prophesied by John, what was promised by Jesus. He said, not many days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And this is the experience that Jesus was talking about. This is what he was promising. But it's interesting, you know, he says, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then Luke, in describing it in chapter 2, when this event happens, the Holy Spirit coming on the disciples happens, he says they are all filled with the Holy Spirit. And so it's not actually two different things we're talking about. We're talking about the same thing. And this is something, and sometimes when I think about, you know, last time we were talking about embracing the cross, talking about really the message of salvation and expanding on that, and then today as I'm talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and sometimes I feel like, you know, am I just preaching to the converted? But these are things that I think are so essential that, you know, we can't just focus on them. We can't just, these can't be the only things we talk about and the only things we preach and the only things we teach about. But they are so important that we've got to have them before our eyes. It's so uplifting to have them. It's something that needs to be part of our DNA, of who we are so much that it's right there in the forefront. Because, you know, it excites us. It keeps us in mind of what's needed. It keeps us focused on the need for that. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But also, you know, we're expecting people to be saved, aren't we? We're expecting, you know, if we're not expecting people to come to know the Lord, then, you know, we're missing our purpose as a church. But if we're expecting people to come to know the Lord, then they need also to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so we need to know about this, and this needs to be really at the forefront of our thinking, not just for ourselves, but about how we disciple people. And it's really interesting there, I mentioned what Jesus, part of what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, and then we see in Acts chapter 2. So we know about the Great Commission. And when Jesus said, not many days from now, I will, you know, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's actually in the middle of him talking about that Great Commission. It says, and you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in all Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And we know about that in Matthew, you know, it's go and make disciples of all nations. And It's preach the word and heal the sick, cast out demons. And Jesus gives this. And we can see it in Luke 24 and Acts chapter 1. And he gives them the Great Commission and tells them what it is they've got to do. But he says, but before you do this, don't do anything. Wait. You know, as of us as parents, have we ever try giving instructions to our kids about what we want them to do, but then we say, but don't do anything just yet. Okay? Sometimes it happens at school, you know, but don't do anything just yet. Jesus said, this is what I want you to do, but before you get ahead of yourselves, wait, because there's something else you need, and that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they waited, and the chronology of the Bible talks about, you know, we know that 10 days from when Jesus ascended into heaven the last time they saw him until the day of Pentecost when they received the Holy Spirit. 10 days they're waiting. They're not real sure what they're waiting for. But they're waiting because they need to wait until they receive the Holy Spirit. See, because they had the message of Jesus, and they had the instructions from Jesus, but they needed the power of the Holy Spirit to outwork the Great Commission. See, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth, and to the ends of the earth. So it's not enough just to know what Jesus wants. And it's not enough, you know, just to even to believe that. But we need to be empowered to do that. You know, we need to be born again for several reasons. But one of the reasons we need to be born again is because in our own self, we can't fulfill the righteousness of God. We need the new birth, and we need the Holy Spirit with us so that we can actually live the life that God calls us to. And the same thing with then the ministry, what he calls us to go and serve people, to go and preach the word, to go and minister to people, is that we also need his power. We can't do that in our strength. We need something else. And so the Holy Spirit is promised, the Holy Spirit is sent, so we can obey Jesus' commands, so that we can fulfill his will. And when I say obey his commands, I mean obey his command to go and preach the gospel to all nations, to fulfill the Great Commission. We can't do that unless we're empowered, unless being filled with the Holy Spirit gives us that power. On the day of Pentecost, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And it impacts their lives. It impacts their lives immediately, and it impacts their lives in the long term. You know, we know from, as we read there through Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, there was 120 believers there, all filled with the Holy Spirit on that day, and their lives are changed from that moment. It's impacted. We see the immediate impact. You know, they're in the upper room at this stage, so there's no one. It must be a pretty big room if there's 120, but they're there. And so they're kind of hidden away, if you like. But suddenly when the Holy Spirit comes, they begin praising God. Not just quietly, they begin praising God loudly. They begin speaking in tongues, in languages which they hadn't learned, which they didn't know. And they're praising God in these other languages. And then when it draws a crowd and people start asking what's going on, we see Peter stand up, and Peter is the one who preaches the message. I don't know whether Peter ever thought about this afterwards and thought, wow, where did that come from? I imagine if then me, I would have been thinking, where did that come from? It came from the Holy Spirit. But we see the boldness of Peter, that suddenly he's bold to stand up and preach the gospel. We see the impact there in that there's not just the preaching, it's not just the words that are said, but there's salvations, 3,000 salvations, all at once on that day. And then we see that in Acts chapter 2, that these people are not just saved, but they are discipled. The discipling begins immediately. They are discipled. And this is all things that they could not do before they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They needed the filling, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They needed the baptism in the Holy Spirit to be able to do, to be able to achieve, to be able to carry out any of these things. And we see that throughout the throughout the book of Acts. You know, this experience is referred to as the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's also referred to as being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's referred to as receiving the Holy Spirit. It's referred to as the gift of God and the promise of the Father. And if we think about the gift of God and the receiving of the Holy Spirit, it tells us how we receive it. It's a gift we receive. It's the same as salvation. How are we saved? Because there's a gift that's offered, and we are saved when we receive that gift. We don't have to earn our salvation, but we receive it from God. We don't have to earn, we can't earn the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We receive it from God, and so that tells us something about it. But we see all these things, all these words, all these terms used to describe the same event, the same occurrence. And what is described there in Acts chapter 2 is not just a one-off. It's not just something that the disciples needed. It's not just something that Jesus needed to do to break through so that people could have the same power and the same ability that he had. But it's an experience that is repeated throughout the book of Acts, separate and subsequent to salvation. Wherever there's salvations, then there's people that will then, and usually by the laying on of hands, will lay hands and people will receive the Holy Spirit. We see, for instance, in Acts chapter 8 and verses 14 to 16. And the first part of Acts chapter 8 is Philip has gone to Samaria and he's preached the gospel and many have believed. Multitudes have believed. And so they're saved because they've believed and they've repented. And then in Acts chapter, verse 14 of chapter 8, it says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 17, Ananias is sent to pray for Paul. And he comes to Paul, who's still called Saul at this stage, and he says to Paul, the Lord Jesus has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, Paul comes to Ephesus, and there's some believers there, some disciples. They've heard the preaching of Apollos, and they've believed. And Paul, when he comes across them, he finds them there. He says in verse 2, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And really they echoed the words that even though I was unaware of them, that I would have been thinking when people first said to me, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? They said, we've not even heard of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul shares with them about that, baptizes them again and prays that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And so through the book of Acts, we see the importance, is the twofold importance of preaching the gospel, of leading people to Jesus, of seeing that people believe and repent, and that then that they immediately or very soon afterwards are filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, receive the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. And always throughout the book of Acts, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is always accompanied by speaking in tongues. And it's generally received, generally imparted by the laying on of hands. So if we want to receive the Holy Spirit, if we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and we're wondering how, well, the best way is to find a believer who is filled with the Holy Spirit, get them to lay hands on you and pray for you, because that's the pattern we see in the book of Acts. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit otherwise, but that's the best way. Now, one of the really interesting things about our English translations is you find a word and you think, I wonder what that means in the original Greek or Hebrew. And you go back and look. And there are several words that are translated filled or full in the in our English Bibles. And I went and had a look at them, what they mean in the Greek. And something really interesting was that they all mean to fill. So being filled in the original means filled. Well, I thought that was pretty interesting anyway. Pretty profound, yeah. Thanks, Trev. Somebody with me. They all mean to fill, but it goes a little bit deeper. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means to diffuse through one soul. Or to diffuse, of course, means to spread through. So being filled with the Holy Spirit means the Holy Spirit is spread right through our soul. It means to be thoroughly permeated with. So in other words, we're soaked, we're saturated with the Holy Spirit through our soul, in our soul. Whatever takes possession of the mind is said to fill it. And the disciples at different times are described as being full of joy or full of grace and truth. So that's really what defines them. You know, the grace, the truth, the joy. And so in the same way then, if we're full of the Holy Spirit, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're defined by that. It's what people can see. It's what has taken possession of the mind. My mind is not controlled by what I see on the TV or what I read in social media or the lusts or whatever else is going on around me, but is controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, though, doesn't hijack our mind, but he takes control. He takes control of it so that we can hear, understand, think, speak, and act out. I mean, and I say act out, in our actions, the will of God, you know, the ministry of Jesus. And what are we talking about specifically about fulfilling the Great Commission? The Holy Spirit takes control of our mind and our thoughts and our actions. I was thinking of it a little bit like being, you know, if you've ever been or if you know someone who's a sleepwalker, their mind is partially active, but really you've got to wake them up before they really know what's going on. And in a sense, without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you know, we can't really know what's going on around us. It's coming up to 3 years ago and none of my family are here, so you can't ask them about it. But when I had a big seizure at home and I was unconscious for about half an hour, I think, or barely conscious, but I was saying things, I was doing things, and apparently. And I've been accused of saying and doing some strange things during that half hour, all of which I deny. Despite the fact there are up to 7 other witnesses, I still deny it. But apparently I was saying things, so in a sense my mind was operating, but it wasn't fully operative. It wasn't fully cognizant. And if we were to try and fulfill the work of Jesus without the Holy Spirit, it's like that. We're partly operating, the same as a sleepwalker, the same as myself on that particular night, allegedly. But we're not fully operating the way that the mind, in this sense, was intended to. We're not fully operating the way we're intended to as disciples of Jesus. And it's really interesting as we keep this in mind about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that, you know, he permeates our whole soul, our whole mind, our whole being. That, as I mentioned, one of the other terms used for this same experience is to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the word baptized means literally to dip. But there's a couple of things that it was used for in the culture, which they took the word from to describe, you know, the word baptism. But one of the Greek words that is used for baptism means actually to immerse a cloth in dye. And you think about when you take a cloth and you immerse it in dye, what happens? The dye goes right through that cloth, it permeates it. The same idea as what we're talking about with being filled. So when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit goes right through our mind, right through our soul. He fills our mind the same way. And so why is it? What's the purpose of this? The purpose simply is power. As I mentioned already, we read in Acts 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power. Yeah, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. It's not power for power's sake. It's not power for us to use the way we want to. It's not like, you know, Luke, you have to learn to use the force for good. It's not like some of these magical movies where, oh, I've got this magic and I can use it for good or evil. The Holy Spirit is the power that comes with, is not for us to use as we want. It's come to equip us to fulfill the Great Commission. And in Luke 24, verse 49, and the old King James uses this wonderful word, endued, but you shall be, but wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And I'm sure we've all used that word this week, haven't we, endued. Basically, it means to be clothed. Clothed with power from on high. It means that actually to be invested with some quality or trait. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, we're clothed with power. But it's a trait, it's a quality that we have, is we have the power of God with us and within us. Not to use for our own purposes, but it's there to fulfill the calling, to fulfill the commandment of God, to fulfill the Great Commission. It's power for service, power for ministry, power for fulfilling the Great Commission. Powerful for being Jesus in the world around us. The being filled with the Holy Spirit equips us. It's the ministry of Jesus through us. With it comes the ability to pray in tongues. You know, so there's equipping in prayer as well for us, because that's what praying in tongues is. It's an equipping for us in our prayer time. You know, the result, you know, the word also becomes more alive. We're able to tap into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, our ability to hear his voice, to understand, is increased. You know, there's an increase in righteousness. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't actually given so that we can walk in righteousness. That's what the new birth is for. But if we live a life that is permeated, that is saturated with the Holy Spirit, we're going to walk in righteousness. We're going to live in righteousness, because you can't be with God and sin. You've got to choose one or the other. Quite simply, we're filled with the Holy Spirit to fulfill his call. And quite interestingly, the word used for filled with the Spirit, the word filled there in Acts 2 and 2 verse 4 and Acts 9 verse 17, which is, as I mentioned, is where Ananias came to Paul. It's actually a lengthened form of the word to sail. This is quite appropriate. Now, one of the strange things about our language is that we still use the word sail when referring to a ship. Even though the ships aren't sailing, they're being propelled by a diesel engine or you know, a nuclear engine or something like that. But we still use the word sail. But for most of history, the word sail refers to actually a sail being filled with wind and being propelled along. And I think it's so appropriate that this idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit uses that sense. Because it talks about, it gives the paints the picture of being enabled, of being empowered by a source outside of us. And that's what being filled with the Holy Spirit is. It's not me, it's not within me, but it's God, the Holy Spirit, who empowers me, who propels me, who enables me. And even if you think about the sense of the best way, the most efficient way to get a sailing ship to move is you've got to fill those sails with wind. And so we need to be filled, the Holy Spirit, in the same way. We are propelled. And I actually think for time, rather than trying to rush through the second half, I might just leave that. With that, I'd like to talk about the second part as being continually filled, but I will save that for another time. But Ephesians 5 verse 18, and I'll just finish with these couple of thoughts. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. And that's the instruction there in Ephesians. And it's where I've got the title, if you like, for today's message. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul instructs us there. But he's actually writing to people who would already have been filled with the Holy Spirit. He's writing an instruction that we need to continually and continuously be filled. We need to continually remain full. But as I said, this is just a taste of that. But what's really important there is Paul contrasts being filled with the Spirit with drunkenness. He doesn't liken it to it. See, there is a similarity in that drunkenness takes control of our mind. In our day and age, you know, we could add in, you know, getting high, getting stoned, whatever you want to call it. It takes control of your mind. The Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, is also having Him taking control of our mind. But drunkenness takes over your mind, where you're not in control. The Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, takes our mind and makes it alive, brings our mind under control, if you like, as I was saying before about sleepwalking or certain other things, so that we can know and do the things of God. Because if we are not full of the Spirit, we're missing something with our mind. Our mind is only partly functioning. And that's the contrast. And if you've read Acts chapter 2, and you read on, and it says that the crowd that gathered, that some of them accused the disciples of being drunk. Not because they were acting drunk, but because those people didn't understand what was going on. And so they said, oh, they're drunk. You know, it's like, maybe this doesn't happen in your house, but maybe sometimes the wife might say to the kids, oh, Dad brought me flowers today. And they might say, what, is he drunk? Or sometimes another thing that comes to mind is, what did he do? But, you know, what is he drunk? What's he been drinking or something? Because it's not the usual sort of thing. They didn't understand why he would do that. The people didn't understand what was going on. And so they accused the disciples of being drunk. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not like drunkenness. It doesn't take away our control, but it enables us to fully control us, to control ourselves so that we can fully carry out the Great Commission. And so I'd just like to finish there. As I said, only partway through the message today. So I thought I'd do something different, finish early rather than go late. And don't go thinking about what might have prompted that. So what do we want to get out of this morning? Well, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so what I would like to say, I mean, what I would like to see, then, well, what's the point? What's he getting at this morning? What I would love this morning is if you're sitting there and you're thinking, I haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, I would love to see you ask someone, to, you know, one of our leaders or someone in the church is filled with the Holy Spirit, to lay hands on you and pray that you would receive the Holy Spirit. If you've let that slide, I would love to see you be refreshed. You'd be, you know, revisit that. Because we can just let things go. We can just get into a routine. But revisit what it was when you were first filled with the Holy Spirit. Get a refreshing in the Holy Spirit. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit and you've had to receive the gift of tongues, I would love to see, you know, but you're not praying in tongues anymore. You're not using that. You're not utilizing that gift. I would love to see you begin to utilize that gift, at least in your own prayer time. And if you're there and you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're moving in that and you just think, well, I just hope that somewhere we've stirred you up this morning, that it would stay at the forefront of your mind of what you're thinking. But there's a final thought that I would finish with, that if you're here and this is new to you and you think, well, you know, I don't want to be forced into something. I know when I first begin hanging around the CRC and hanging around these Pentecostal people and they're talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit, that I thought I needed to know more about it. And so I did. You know, it took me some time before I was ready to take that step out and ask God to fill me, ask Jesus to fill me with his Holy Spirit. And so if it takes you some time, I understand that. I've been there. But the interesting thing is, you know, like, and it was so useful, actually, I felt so much better equipped because I'd read the scriptures and I had read some good teaching about that. And I knew so that when the time came, I was well equipped. But the thing is, you can read all you want, you can get all the good teaching you want, but until you are filled with the Holy Spirit for yourself, you can never really understand it. It's only a partial understanding. It's like your favorite sport. You can read all about it and how to kick the ball or throw the ball or hit the ball. You can read all about driving a car. You know, you can read all about music and learn all about it, but until you start to, you know, put your hands on those keys and start to play them or strum those strings or blow through the instrument, you can never really understand what it's like. You can never fully understand. And so if it takes time, if you need to think about it, then that's okay. But you can't fully understand it until it becomes an experience. But it is so important. It's something we need to keep at the forefront of our thinking. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to see people saved and we need to see them filled with the Holy Spirit too. And I said I've still got more to say some other time about being continuously filled. So Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, you don't leave us to our own devices. Lord, you never have. Lord, you have the Holy Spirit. You have given your life for us. So you've given us your life. You've given us your Holy Spirit to be with us. And Lord, even when you leave us a commandment, Lord, when you leave us an instruction, you don't leave us to deal with that by ourselves. But Lord, you empower us, and I thank you for that. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would seek every part of what you have for us. And Lord, not just so that we can be empowered, not just so that we can feel good, but Lord, so that it would bring us closer to you and that we would be fulfilling your calling, fulfilling your ministry as you've called us to do. And Lord, that the glory would belong to you, not to us, but to you. Lord, make us hungry for you, I pray in Jesus' name. Make us hungrier for more of you, more life, more of your life, more of your experience with us. But Lord, more so more of your power, Lord, to fulfill your will so that we would truly live an abundant life. And Lord, I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.